Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report. We are glad to have you with us, and thanks for bearing with me through the holiday period, some in-and-out days, some subs, but glad to be back with you full bore moving forward. It's a big week. New Albany, Jeffersonville in basketball highlights the slate on Friday night. Jeff really talented this year and off to a pretty good start. They've played a really challenging schedule. So they do have some losses on the schedule, but New Albany, Julian Hunter back on Saturday night. And if you've been to that game, if you're from one of those schools, you know what an important rivalry it is to our basketball scene, really not just here in the area or across Southern Indiana, but in the entire state of Indiana as well. So looking forward to that one. We'll be talking about that contest a lot throughout the week, and it's always a big one. It's normally one of those games where you can throw out talent and records and predictions out the window to a certain point and normally get a pretty good game with a sellout crowd. So that's what we're shooting for on Friday night at the Doghouse in New Albany. More on that coming up here in just a bit. But for IU sports fans, and again, we didn't have a chance to have some of our daily conversations that we normally have because of the holidays and because of me being in and out with some different things, but it's been a tough weekend or a tough 2020 so far. IU football, I know, exciting to be in the bowl game. They played really well for a great portion of the bowl game, and it looked like it was going to be almost a dream scenario for IU football, not only to get to the Gator Bowl and to have the regular season that they did, but maybe to win that thing. And at one point, maybe to win it going away against, you know, a Tennessee program that's not what it was, but still a very important program in college football. Not only did Indiana not win, they made some critical errors down the stretch. They get clipped by 1 point, and it's one of those heartbreaking type losses that will just kind of stay with you until football season starts again next year. I think when we look back on this over the next few months, Indiana football will see a lot of positives from not only the appearance, but their competitiveness and the way they played in the bowl game. I think clearly it's going to help recruiting. I think clearly there's things to be excited about with who's back next year for Indiana football and with some of the recruits and recruiting opportunities that are still ahead. But, man, what a tough way to lose a bowl game that you think for a great part of the game, at least in the second half moving forward until the final 5 minutes or so of the game, you think you got a great chance to win. But some mistakes early, like the missed extra point and, of course, the onside kick and then the missed field goal and other things as well you could add to that list, clips Indiana in the end. So, again, a tough 2020 because Indiana football got things started and it looked like they were going to do great things and win, and then they get clipped at the end. And then Indiana basketball, who desperately needed a win, not for any specific purpose or NCAA purpose or anything like that. I mean, that this stuff helps, wins help. But just to get back on a feel-good track after the Arkansas performance and the loss to the Razorbacks at home, needed a win, needed a big Big Ten win as well on the road against the Maryland team that is really good but has had a lot of things going on. And not only does Indiana not get the win, but they absolutely get pummeled in the game. 75-59, the final score as Indiana loses that one and really wasn't even competitive, I think, is the biggest concern in that game. So, again, the start of this new year, you know, normally you're pretty hopeful, you're pretty excited. So far, that hasn't been the case. At least the results have not played out to that tune for Indiana sports so far. Let's hope things get better for the Hoosiers and get better quick with their next game coming up on Wednesday night. Welcome to the show. Just kind of a reminder to reset things for you here as we are here in the year 2020. We do this each weekday at 11 o'clock, the live program here on the Big X Sports Radio. The replay is at 3 o'clock most days unless we have some sort of play-by-play or special programming. We also are available as a podcast each afternoon. You can find us on SoundCloud. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts as well. So I know lots of you listen different ways. Some of you on the radio, some of you streaming it live, some of you maybe listen later on the podcast. No matter how you're with us each day, we are very appreciative of your listenership. And again, we try to cover Indiana basketball, Indiana football, and of course, things here in Southern Indiana with sports and high school basketball and some of the other great things that make this area such a great sports and community-oriented sports area as well. Glad to have you with us. Also, thrilled to death to have, after our program, we go straight from the Hoosier Report to John Spears with Spears on Sports. And John is just tremendous. He does a great job with the show. He's going to talk some Indiana, and he shared with me over the holidays that he's going to talk Indiana early in the show at times as well in that noon hour, so you can transition from our show with basically a dedicated to Indiana sports into John's show, which is going to be about the sports, obviously, across Kentuckiana and beyond. But he's going to talk some IU as well, so you want to stay tuned for Spears on Sports each day following our program coming on here right at noon. Just the other day, I was out that day, but I had the station on. I was around town hitting some different things, catching up on some stuff over the holidays, and John came on for, I think it was his inaugural show at this 12 o'clock time slot, and I heard him talking about Charlie Jenkins, the great Charlie Jenkins, who had his funeral visitation yesterday. And the funeral for Charlie has been moved to Friday, I understand, and wanted to pass along because of some health complications in his family. And we'll talk more about that this week as well. But just neat to hear John and his take on local sports. And I've always admired John because he obviously has a great connection to St. X, their radio play-by-play announcer there, does a lot for that school, that athletic program. And so with John, not only do you get all the latest with IU, Louisville, Kentucky, even national sports and his take on that stuff, he always finds time to talk a little high school sports, including in those special times of playoffs and football and big games in basketball. John really gets the sports scene in the area, not just Southern Indiana, but Louisville as well. And you can catch him with Spears on Sports coming up at noon today, and noon every day, every weekday here on the Big X Sports Radio. I wanted to mention one more thing. I said Charlie Jenkins, his visitation yesterday at the funeral home. And, of course, most of you, if not all of you listening, know Charlie as the voice of Southern Indiana sports. It has been absolutely amazing over the last few days since his death and since it was announced by his family, the responses that we've had on social media, the people that I've run into, or maybe text messages of great Charlie Jenkins moments and great Charlie Jenkins's games that he's called. In fact, somebody that listens a lot that is at all sorts of high school basketball games in the area, Carl Harvey, he gave me to listen to some tapes of Charlie Jenkins calling some of the great New Albany Jeffersonville games over the years. And I thought that was special because heading into this Friday night game with New Albany and Jeff, to go back in time a little bit and listen to some of those great games and some of the great moments of Charlie calling those games obviously will be very special. But I know the funeral home very busy yesterday to see Charlie. And again, his funeral has been moved. It was supposed to be today at 11 o'clock, but because of some complications with health issues in the family, the funeral and funeral mass has been postponed to Friday, January 10th at 11 a.m. at Our Lady of Perpetual Help in New Albany. So it's, I guess in a way it's fitting, the day of the New Albany and Jeffersonville rivalry that Charlie Jenkins was such a big part of for so many years will be the day that he is laid to rest for once and for all. And of course, just a tremendous career, a tremendous person, And great to pay our respects to him this week, and we'll be doing so throughout the week here on the Big X as we remember Charlie Jenkins and all that he did for Southern Indiana sports. Let's jump into the rest of the show today, our show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines. We'll talk more about Indiana's, I'm going to call it again like I did after Arkansas, it's a bad loss. We're going to talk about that bad loss at Maryland. We'll also review some of the high school basketball results from over the weekend as we head into a really good part of the season. Coming up later in the program, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins me. Zach, obviously with us on Mondays. We'll talk a lot of IU basketball, and I even want to go back and revisit some football stuff with Zach when he's with us today. And then Chad Gilbert, Charlestown AD, former coach in the area, also an IHSA executive board member. He joins us Mondays, and we'll talk some local basketball and some local stuff, local sports as well with Chad, as always, when he joins us Mondays on the program. Stop by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany and mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison to receive $1 off a delicious box lunch made to order for you. Don't forget, now that we're back here in the new year, and I'm back with you on a regular basis from this point forward, we love to have you interact with the show. And there's a couple of ways you can do that. Follow me on Twitter at Hoosier Hills. Again, all one word, Hoosier Hills. You can get all sorts of updates on the show, links to podcasts. And if you've got a question or comment for our guest on the show or something you'd like to talk about or see us talk about, send us a tweet at Hoosier Hills on Twitter. You can also follow the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison on Facebook. Just search for the show. Again, links to podcasts, show updates there as well. You can send a message to us there for a question or comment, and perhaps it will get used on the air today in our program. Also, our Zaxby's headlines, another feature of our first segment, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Going back to that Maryland game for just a few moments, 75-59, the final score in that contest. Devontae Green, he was the leading scorer, 18 points in the game. And I think, really, if you gave a standout performer award from that game, and we normally talk about that after each Indiana game, you probably need to look at Joey Brunk, because he almost had a double-double, 9 points, 10 rebounds, and he only played 20 minutes. And, of course, Devontae Green had those 18 points in 23 minutes. But this is amazing. Over Indiana's last five games, and I'm reading this from InsideTheHall.com, over Indiana's last five games, IU is 21 for 94 from behind the three-point line, which that tallies percentage-wise 22.3%. That is just very bad. And obviously there was talk over the offseason, over the summer, a lot of shooting work being done with this team, maybe some improved shooting. And whenever you have a mark at 22%, 21 for 94 from behind the three-point line, obviously that I think is a concerning note. And it's concerning for Indiana because second straight game on the road where Indiana really has not even been in the game, has really not been competitive. Then, of course, in the middle of that, you had Indiana's falling apart against Arkansas in the second half, which kind of only makes the situation worse, to be quite honest, as Indiana heads into its next game with Northwestern this week. And then, of course, a very good Ohio State game this week. You hate to get into a situation like we did last year where you're calling each game that Indiana plays so very important. But with the loss to Arkansas and with some losses in conference play already, you kind of look at Northwestern as a game that Indiana needs to win. When you start just doing the math and looking at who Indiana plays, which of those games are at home, which of those games are on the road, if Indiana wants to be an NCAA tournament team, and there's still a possibility. I mean, we're sitting here, it's just now the new year, obviously, but you've got to start looking at things at that level, and I think you have to look at Northwestern as a game that if Indiana wants to put itself in a reasonable position here early in this month, to get where everybody would like to see them get this year, they're going to have to win some of those games against that level of competition. Not that Northwestern is necessarily bad, But when you look at the makeup of the Big Ten Conference and who Indiana will not be favored against and who some of the tougher matchups in the conference will be, you start to understand that this is a game Indiana has to win, especially when it's packaged right in between games with Maryland and Ohio State, who obviously have had terrific games so far this season. So lots of negativity right now, to be just brutally honest out there, about Archie Miller and about this Indiana team. And again, still early, still lots can happen. I still have the thought that Indiana can make a nice push to be an NCAA tournament team. I think they have some really good pieces, but putting it together, even losing games and not getting blown out, you know, maybe that's the next thing against quality opponents. It's just competing for all 40 minutes of the game and not getting blown out as they have in their last two road games, which is pretty concerning. So more IU basketball coming up here in the next segment with Zach Osterman. Also, high school basketball, Silver Creek Holiday Tournament. Tournament got moved back this year, so Silver Creek could go play in the Hall of Fame Classic, which I thought was a great gesture to keep that longtime event together and rolling. And Silver Creek, with absolutely no problems, racing to the Silver Creek Holiday Tournament Championship. The Dragons, the top 3A team in the state, at least in the last rankings, are now 10-1, and they had very, very balanced scoring against Providence in the big 78-43 win, with Trey Kaufman and Cooper Jacoby both finishing with 18 points. Holden Grower and Braden Northern with 14 points apiece, again leading some very balanced scoring for them. Also, Jeffersonville bounced back. They've had an unbelievable schedule to start the year so far. Coach Chris Moore inheriting a schedule that Joe Luce set up, and he took on and was willing to take on all comers to help this very talented Jeffersonville team maybe take some lumps, as they have, but get better for this home stretch of the season. And it's hard to believe that here in a few more weeks we'll really be into the home stretch and really the final month or less of the season once we get to February 1st on the calendar. Jeff did bounce back after losing to Crispus Attucks on Thursday night with a 66-28 win over Tell City. The Red Devils now 7-4. And again, you think, gosh, Jeff is so good. They've got so much talent, so many college players on the roster. How do they have four losses? Well, if you pull up their schedule and look at who they've been willing to play, even some of their wins have come against really, really good teams in the state. They've went out of state a couple times to take on some different teams, a team from Cincinnati and, of course, Scott County, Kentucky. One of those a win, one of those a loss. But this team is going to have lots of experience because their schedule continues to be pretty competitive here even as we enter the new year. But Jeffersonville, even at 7-4, a big factor, I think, in high school basketball as you look to the sectional. And again, we are under two months away from the sectional tournament, which is hard to believe. Also, New Albany hoping to get back on track. They had a big win over the weekend at North Harrison, playing against former Providence coach Lou LaFay. Julian Hunter returned to the lineup for New Albany. Really wasn't much of a factor in the scoring column, but he did just affect the game. He's big, he can rebound, he can affect the game, even if he doesn't have a big scoring output. And you could tell it's going to take Julian, obviously, some more practices. And there's nothing that can replicate gameplay. As far as how hard you work as a player and how into it you are. And so it's going to take some more games for Julian to get back to being close at 100%. But he is getting closer and obviously back in the lineup. New Albany led by one of its sophomores, Caden Stanton. He was 9 of 10 from the field and had 21 points in the game, but he was the top performer for New Albany as now they look ahead to Jeffersonville on Friday night. Also, Floyd Central was victorious. They had no problems putting away Meade County. 68-42 was the final score. Jake Heidbreeder, 20 points in the win for the Highlanders as he continues to have a great season as well. And one high school note from outside the area, Trey Galloway, IU signee in the 2020 class, he returned from a wrist injury. He'd been out for a few weeks, but he's back with Culver Academies. They played against Lawrence Central. We know how good Lawrence Central is. Culver Academies lost the game by 13 points, but I thought this was a good mark for Trey. He had 17 points in his first game back, going against the likes of the Davis brothers and Nigel Pack, all who are high major Division I basketball players as well. Culver had lost three games in a row with all three games with Trey Galloway out. But he's back now, and we'll look for them to turn the corner. And again, they're in 4A this year. They're not in 3A. They are not a potential matchup for Silver Creek in the state tournament, but still could be someone coming out of the north that could have the potential maybe to make some noise in 4A basketball as well. That's a look at the headlines for this Monday, January 6th edition of the program. Our headlines are brought to you each day by Zaxby's. Don't forget to stop by Zaxby's, the home of the famous hand-breaded, hand-seasoned chicken fingers, fresh salads, and saucy wings, all made to order, again, at Zaxby's with locations in New Albany and Jeffersonville. We've talked a lot about New Albany and Jeff so far today. It's obviously a big matchup in the high school basketball landscape, and we'll be talking with the coaches later this week, even some of the players as well, as we preview one of the greatest rivalries in our area and in the state as well. Skyline Chili of New Albany, they are proud to present the Crosstown Showdown game between Jeffersonville and New Albany on Friday night. You can come support your team on Support Night at Skyline Chili in New Albany. Jeffersonville's Support Night is Tuesday, January 7th from 5 to 8. And then you can support New Albany on Thursday, January 9th from 5 to 8 at Skyline Chili, 3505 Grantline Road in New Albany. And a percentage of the sales on those two evenings will go back to benefit those schools and those athletic departments as well. So kind of neat to see Skyline get involved with the game. It's being billed as the Crosstown Showdown, and there will be some pregame events Tuesday night for Jeff, Thursday night for New Albany at Skyline Chili in New Albany. We'll be talking a lot more about that throughout the week. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins the program. We'll talk IU basketball, the bad loss against Maryland. I really think more appropriately the blowout loss at Maryland is the way to describe that game. We'll also talk the upcoming week for Indiana basketball, and we'll touch on IU football as well. Also, Chad Gilbert, he joins us later in the program on this Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, always with us Mondays on the show as we talk IU basketball and, of course, IU football as well, coming out of the Gator Bowl down in Jacksonville. And, Zach, there's lots to get to. And, unfortunately, as I said at the start of the show, the year 2020, the opening days of the year at least, have not been pleasant for Indiana fans as the football team takes a very difficult loss in the closing minutes of the game to Tennessee in the Gator Bowl. And then, of course, Indiana opens up Big Ten play, or I should say reopens the full slate of Big Ten play in 2020 with a really tough loss, a blowout loss on the road against Maryland.
Yeah, I mean, obviously two results kind of coming from different directions, frankly, maybe two seasons sort of heading in different directions. You know, with football, I think it's possible kind of in the final reckoning to be frustrated with losing the Gator Bowl and particularly the way that Indiana lost the Gator Bowl while also still feeling encouraged, I would say strongly encouraged, by the general direction of the program and kind of what is on the horizon for IU football. You know, with basketball, you know, just quite frankly, all of a sudden I think we are talking about, you know, it can be hard because, and I've said this before, Indiana fans, and I say this with as much respect and as love in my heart as I can, but I've been around long enough that I think I can try and be honest with them in a way that maybe I didn't used to feel so comfortable being. Indiana fans can really be prone to panic when it's not necessary, and they can be prone to sort of declaring crisis when there isn't one. You know, in real terms, Indiana's lost two games in a row. Should they have been more competitive at Maryland? Absolutely. Should they have closed out the game against Arkansas at home? Yes, probably. But the season is not out of control. It's not lost. It's not, you know, irretrievable. It's not irreversible. But there are genuine reasons for concern when you start to sort of stack up the way that this team, frankly, has just played against high major opponents over the last month, you know, starting with the trip to Wisconsin, going through, you know, even a game like Notre Dame, which you win, and then obviously these last couple, even Nebraska at home, frankly, I think there were reasons for concern. And so I think it is fair to be deeply concerned by the sudden directional change of this IU basketball season. And I think you can do that without, you know, sort of making zero-sum unequivocal statements like this season's out of control, it's a complete waste, and, you know, it's time to give up on all of it on January 6th.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us talking IU basketball and more. Let's dive into some basketball topics here. Ones that stand out to me, and I'm sure that you've noticed or that you've written about already as well, but we know this Indiana program, and I think you have to call it a program, not a team, and maybe not even just Archie Miller, but going back a few years, has struggled at times to shoot the basketball. And I noticed the three-point percentage for this team, I think, over the last number of games, like 22%, which is really just hard to comprehend and hard to understand. Shooting continues to be, once again this season, especially over the last handful of games, a really big challenge for this Indiana team.
Well, and I think, you know, I'd say a couple things in response to that. Sort of in the immediate term, I don't think it's a mistake that Indiana's three-point shooting seems to have sloughed off or maybe even returned sort of to the mean a little bit as Indiana has moved away from Assembly Hall and as Indiana has had to start playing games in neutral venues, road venues, obviously shooting with a different basketball, different things like that. Things that, you know, some people may think aren't a huge deal, but, you know, anybody who will play the game enough will tell you that it does matter. You know, that Wisconsin using a basketball almost nobody else does feel weird to shooters who aren't used to it. And, you know, it is this something that is going to follow Indiana all season? I wrote, if you want to talk a little bit more sort of longer term or wide lens, I wrote after the game Saturday that it would feel unfair to keep sort of beating Archie Miller with some of the same, you know, losses that he suffered in his first season, but you still see some of the same causes. And one of those is just the inability to fix three-point shooting. He did not inherit a particularly good three-point shooting team. He almost immediately lost a couple of the players that were likely Indiana's most important three-point threats that summer in 2017. But the reality is that Indiana set a program record for three-point shooting woes in 2018. They broke that record last year, and now they're on pace to break it again this year. At some point, stuff like that does have to kind of be assumed by the guy who's been in charge for, you know, 2.5 seasons and who has been in charge of sort of the development of the, not just the roster from a recruiting perspective, but also the roster from a day-to-day skills perspective. And I think Archie Miller, you know, has consistently throughout his tenure been someone who, you know, he doesn't bang his fist on the table after frustrating losses. He doesn't throw people under the bus or anything like that. He just tries to sort of wipe it and move on in the way that I think just about any coach would tell you they would like to. But at the same time, while you can understand where kind of his optimism and his sort of, you know, persistent message comes from, you know, at a certain point, it's been 2.5 years, and this problem just hasn't gone away for Indiana, and so it's fair to wonder, is it going to go away?
Zach, I was reading your story earlier. You know, Devontae Green, I mentioned 18 points in the game, reviewing things when we started the show today, but he had a number of those points. I think 13 came in the last 3.5 minutes of the game, and Indiana finished, as you wrote in your story, on a 9-0 run in that game at Maryland and still lost by double figures. So when you look at things for this team, I think some very concerning points, and we've covered some of them with shooting and three-point shooting and free throw shooting, et cetera. But obviously this is a team with a lot of things to improve if they're going to make the NCAA tournament. And that's my next question for you. I know that it's crazy to talk about the NCAA tournament in early January, but with how things are and how hungry this fan base is, first and foremost, to get back to the NCAA tournament, you have to start thinking about the Arkansas loss at home and the bad start to conference play and some of the problems that this team does have. I think you think about it in that perspective because you know that, like this Northwestern game right in the middle of Maryland and Ohio State, it's a game really that this team needs to win for their conference win total and to put themselves in a maybe a reasonable position a month or two from now to have a resume and a win total that puts them as a Big Ten team that makes the tournament. I know that we can't talk too much detail about it because we don't know, but I do sense that this is a fan base and a program that moves forward with each win or each loss with the NCAA tournament in the back of their mind based how things have went in recent seasons.
No, I mean, I think it's fair. And again, you know, I'd say I understand why Indiana's fan base is desperate for a winner. I hope this doesn't sound overly self-important. I've been on this beat about as long as anybody who's still on it continuously. You know, I completely understand where this fan base is coming from. I also believe that sort of living and dying with each result is, you know, frankly, kind of dangerous to the health of the program. But the flip side to that is, at a place like Indiana, it shouldn't be so difficult just to make the NCAA tournament. And listen, if the season ended right now today, I think Indiana's in the tournament. And of course, it doesn't work that way. But if you're just looking at resumes and results and wins and losses, you know, with what Indiana's done in the non-conference, I think Indiana would be a low seed, but I think they'd be in the tournament. But I think you'd also be fair in looking at, again, about the last basically everything since Florida State, you know, seeing the offensive struggles against almost everyone but maybe Nebraska, seeing the defensive struggles on the road and in the Big Ten. I think Indiana's either 13th or 14th in the league right now in adjusted defensive efficiency in Big Ten play, specifically according to Ken Pomeroy. And just seeing the way things are trending and looking at last year as well, and I know last year gets a little bit kind of corrupted by injuries and issues like that and the roster just sort of falling apart, but you know, it is fair to wonder whether this team's got the ability to, you know, just sort of get hold of itself. And I think, you know, and I think the headline used the term soul searching. My story maybe even used the term soul searching. Just have a real sort of, I don't know if the word is inquisition of itself or what, but just a real sort of forensic analysis of what it is that makes Indiana a winner, because it feels like too often, you know, just as you watch this team with the naked eye, it puts too much of its self-worth or self-belief or self-confidence in the wrong things. That it you know, this is a team that, and Archie Miller has said this from day one of the season, is going to go as far as it can defend, but it feels like a team that often loses a lot of confidence when it doesn't seem to see the ball go in the basket, and that when things start to snowball, it's because Indiana suddenly can't score or can't hit shots, can't hit open shots, whatever it may be. It's a team that I think can be destructive in the way that it doesn't turn the ball over a lot, but it can turn the ball over in kind of big spurts that can allow opponents to put quick and you know, frankly, morale-sapping runs into Indiana. And it's just a team that feels like it's very easy to take Indiana away from what Indiana should be best at. It can be very hard for Indiana to stay connected. And this is, listen, this is an Archie Miller issue. This is on down through his roster. It's his seniors, his juniors, it's everybody. But it feels like a team where it's very hard sometimes for Indiana to really sort of stay connected to what it should do well and what should be winning at games first and foremost, where winning starts, for lack of a better term. And I just think that you would be fair, if you're an Indiana fan, in being concerned about the long-term course of this season when you see a performance like Maryland.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us Mondays. Good stuff on IU basketball, Zach. Before we let you go, I want to flip back to football again for just a moment. Now that we enter off-season mode for IU football, I think everyone hopes and expects that there will be some good recruiting momentum for this team coming off the season they had, and even the bowl game performance they had that wasn't a win, still some momentum to be had from that. You wrote a story after the Gator Bowl about things Indiana could do to take another step forward. Maybe preview that or overview that or give us the in your opinion, one of the biggest steps in this offseason Indiana football can take to maybe reach that next level.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a few things, and they're all kind of in the story, but I mean, you know, number one, obviously you got to get healthy at quarterback, and then you got to kind of sort through where that goes. Does Peyton Ramsey want to stay in? You know, is Peyton Ramsey your starter next year? Is it Michael Penix? Do you want another competition? Does Ramsey want to move somewhere else? I don't believe he's graduated yet, so because he wasn't announced with the December graduate, so I would presume even if he wants to graduate transfer, and we haven't asked him about that beyond, you know, kind of near the beginning of the bowl cycle. We just said, you know, is it something you've thought about? He said, I'm not thinking past the bowl at all. That's the only thing I'm worried about. But even if he wanted to do it, I believe he would have to ride through the spring semester with Indiana. You've got to get an offensive coordinator. I think some of it is certainly that you just keep committing to the developmental stuff. You know, I mean, it's boring, and a lot of it happens when nobody's paying attention to football, especially, and I'm not trying to be flippant, but at a place like Indiana where, you know, the football off season tends to be very quiet. But look at what the commitment to, you know, David Ballou and Matt Ray has done for Indiana thus far. Look at the way that young players have improved. Look at the way the defense has gotten better. Look at the way the offensive line continues to get better. That stuff you just have to keep committing to. The more that gap between you and, you know, the teams you want to beat closes. I think the other thing too that I would say that wasn't, and I don't know if it's something necessarily Indiana does this off season specifically, or it's just something Indiana kind of carries forward more generally. I didn't really talk about it in that story, but I've mentioned it when people have asked since. I think the bowl is a potentially good thing for Indiana as well, if Indiana kind of uses it as a lesson for essentially how big programs behave. And I know that's a very, you know, blanket phrase, and it's not like Indiana doesn't have the Ohio States and the Penn States and the Michigans to, you know, to act as an example. But I also remember when Indiana went to Florida State in the baseball regional, the super regional in 2013, and obviously they won that regional, but there was also a real sense as Indiana came out of that weekend that they had taken a long look at what a serious college baseball program behaved like. And, you know, that off season, Indiana hired a full-time director of operations for its baseball team. You know, the Indiana had just opened Bart Kaufman Field, and yet coming back from that, Tracy Smith had a laundry list of new things he wanted, the video scoreboard, you know, additions or accoutrements to the locker room, all those different kinds of things. And it doesn't all happen at once, but it does strike me, it felt, just being at the Gator Bowl, like, you know, here was an example for Indiana, not just in terms of the way Tennessee carried itself, I don't just mean that, but the whole experience. Here's what it looks like when you are the kind of team that plays in big bowl games against big opponents, against teams that take themselves very seriously, against teams and programs that take football very seriously. You know, the Gator Bowl had a markedly different atmosphere from the Pinstripe Bowl or the Foster Farms Bowl, and I don't mean that as a negative to either of those bowl games. It was different. The Gator Bowl is, I think, the sixth longest continuously running bowl game in the country. It's going to be different. And I think there is value, if you're Indiana, in looking at that whole experience, win or lose, and saying, what is it about the programs that come to bowls like this regularly that sets them apart? And I think there are 1,000 answers to that question. You know, one of the things that I it struck me as I watched Indiana go through bowl practice and bowl prep for that, basically that month between Purdue and Tennessee, is that when you get all those extra bowl practices, you're effectively getting a second spring practice, especially for your young players. And it's almost like the rich getting richer, because you're getting an extra 12 practices, so you're going to get all this work that the teams that don't go to bowls don't get. And you're probably going to be able to recruit better because you're going to bowls and you're going to be able to bring guys to practice and you're going to be able to show, you know, show them your program and a showcase event and all those different kinds of things. And then when you get better recruits, you're going to have more time to work with them. And then all of a sudden it just kind of compounds on itself. I think there is something to the idea that Indiana can also just learn from that experience in terms of saying, here's what it looks like when you don't just behave like a team that's obsessed with getting to six wins, which I think Indiana was for a very long time. Certainly pre-Kevin Wilson was very just sort of obsessed with how do we get to six? How do we make the math add up to six? That is the priority. But a program that says we're a winning team, we're a winning program, we're going to bowls every year, bowls plural, we're going to win our rivalry games, we're going to win eight games, we're going to win nine games, we're not going to settle in recruiting or in staffing. And I apologize, I know this is a long answer, but I think that all of that stuff, that there are dozens of different ways that that can manifest itself. But I think that as Indiana takes the next steps in this project, it's about at some level learning how to be a winning program as much as it is maybe about saying, oh, well, we won this game specifically or we lost that game specifically and how do we get better from there? And I think a bowl like the Gator Bowl is a real positive in that regard.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. Great stuff, Zach, on basketball and football. Glad to have you with us again as we enter this new year. And thanks for the time. We'll talk with you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us always on Mondays. Let's head to a commercial break. When we come back, we wrap up the show with Chad Gilbert. He's Charlestown's AD, a former coach in the area, also an IHSA executive board member. And we always talk a lot of basketball this time of year with Chad when he joins us. I know he was out and about at some games over the weekend. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the New Albany-Jeff rivalry on Friday night and a lot more coming up next. Chad Gilbert joins the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Monday program. Skyline Chili of New Albany is proud to present the Crosstown Showdown game between Jeffersonville and New Albany on Friday night. Come support your team on Support Night at Skyline Chili in New Albany. Jeffersonville Support Night is Tuesday, January 7th from 5 to 8 p.m. New Albany Support Night Thursday, January 9th from 5 to 8 p.m. as well. All at Skyline Chili, 3505 Grantline Road in New Albany. A percentage of sales from both of those nights will go to benefit the school and athletic department. Staying right there, Chad. Chad Gilbert joins the program. It's game week for a big rivalry, not just in our area, but in our state as well, New Albany and Jeffersonville. You've had the opportunity to be part of that rivalry, both on the girls' and the boys' side. And it's a big week. It's a fun game, and it means a lot to everyone involved.
Before you start talking about that, let's talk about that Skyline Chili. Are you a five-way man or a three-way man? What do you do on this Skyline Chili?
You know what? I'm going to tell you the best thing that I like there is a wrap that they have, a buffalo chicken wrap. It's not anything that I would have initially thought that you'd say, I'm going to go to Skyline to get that, but it really is one of my favorite items, believe it or not.
Get the funnel cake sticks, those will tickle you. you'll really enjoy those.
I'm sure. You're a food connoisseur, you and BJ McAllister. You guys know all the good places to get. And
289 and rising, Matt, 289 and rising. No, you're talking about the New Albany and Jeff game. And, you know, when you're part of something like that, you don't realize how big of a game it is because – you're telling your kids, hey, this is just another game. You know, you go out there and do this. We're going to run across these guys again in the sectional. Let's just try to get better every day. Let's continue to try to do this process. We want to be better this week than what we were last week. Then you hit that floor and there's 5,000 people out there. It's hard to overcome that. And the coaching standpoint, every game, we try to always tell our kids, there's going to be highs, there's going to be lows. Whoever's going to win the game is who's going to stay steady. You know, and that's what you've got to do in those types of games, because the first 3 minutes of the game, you got your script. You know, you scripted your plays. You know what you're going to run. You know what the other guy's going to try to throw at you. So you've got a curveball that you're trying to throw in. But after you get that first one or two scripts, man, until that first timeout, there's a lot of just getting up and down and playing. You know, you kind of got to let the kids play a little bit, dust off all the fears, shake it off a little bit, get out there and get your game going on. You know, the one stable will be there, you can guarantee, Gary Hamilton on the whistle every year for the Jeff New Albany game. So you can guarantee that all the fans that see them, they will recognize Gary out there every year at Jeff and at New Albany, which to me is a good thing, because you know that you're not, the officiating is not going to affect the game. He's going to let you play, he's going to let you get up and down, and then the next year when you go to Jeff, the same thing's going to happen there. So I think that's good for the rivalry. But it's a lot of fun, and it's an athletic director's dream. You know, BJ's going to look at $20,000 gate coming in, and that's going to help all his other supports, all his other sports support them as spring sports start up here and you're wrapping up your winter sports. That's a nice shot in the arm for his athletic program.
Chad, I know we have all week to break this thing down, and we'll talk with the coaches and others involved as the week goes on. But this is obviously a game that means so much to the community, so much to the schools. And you've had a chance to see this rivalry up close and personal as discussed. And you've also had a chance to see the teams again this year. I know you saw New Albany play on Saturday night at North Harrison. And, of course, the Red Devils, they've taken on all comers this season with a very, very tough schedule. Four losses, but still a very good Jeff team that is loaded with college talent. Your early thoughts here in the week for people that are already gearing up for this big rivalry, your early thoughts on the game, the matchup?
Well, you know, always the other – when it's played at home, you always have an advantage. It's not because of the officials. It's because you are comfortable with your routine. You know, you're not having to get off that bus. You're not having to do your shoot around or whatever else. You're ready. You know, you got your same music, your same warm-ups. You know where your girlfriend's sitting in the crowd. You know where your dad's sitting in the crowd. You know where your mom's sitting in the crowd. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. So the home team always has an advantage, because when you get in there, there's a little bit of overwhelmingness to it when you see that crowd, when you come in, and I mean, it's, and how tight it is when you're making your way on the floor and you're having to shuffle around fans to get on the floor. Some of that stuff kind of plays on you a little bit. So the home team always has an advantage of that one. I think Jeff is very, very battle tested. I think they've played everybody that's come down the pipe, and I think that they played well. As a New Albany, I was really impressed with New Albany against North Harrison the other night, Matt. And what impressed me, you know, is you knew that they had their seniors back, but what I was impressed with, the young talent. And the question will be, you know, I think the two sophomores have played in this game before, the freshman at New Albany, how will he react coming out there? I think he'll be fine once he gets up and down the court two or three times. And that's the one thing. Both teams will have to get up and down the court, because both teams are going to look to push the ball, I think. And, you know, to make a prediction of it this early in the week, I think it's going to be hard to tell. But it'll be a fun game. I think this will be one of the more exciting games that the rivalry has had in the last several years, because I think there's a lot of parity involved in it. I think Jeff has a lot of quickness. Curious how New Albany will match up with their quickness, whether they're going to play some zone, whether they're going to play man, whether they'll press and try to get up and down. New Albany has a lot of size. How will Jeff match up with that size? Will they play some zone? Will they try to get back? Will they try to push it on offense? You know, there's a lot of questions that need to be answered this week, but there's a lot of things that these coaches are going to play for. And, you know, you think, well, I don't want to show my hand. You want to show your hand, because you're playing for a conference title. The Hoosier Hills Conference is going to go through this week's game. You know, Floyd Central right now is sitting in the driver's seat. However, whoever's in this wins this game, they have a chance to play on the Hoosier Hills Conference.
Chad Gilbert with me always on Monday. Chad, good stuff. You've had a unique opportunity to be part of this game in many ways, and it's always fun to start off the week previewing and thinking about this rivalry game that even draws in interest from those that may not have been to a single game anywhere for either team so far this season, and I think that's something unique that really brings the communities out for this one. Thanks for the chat. We'll see you Friday night if you can get away.
Well, good luck Friday night. I think it'll be a lot of fun. I hope everybody in Southern Indiana gets to come out and be part of something special as the New Albany-Jeff rivalry.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert, thanks so much. We'll do it again next Monday.
Thanks for the run, Matt.
Talking about the Skyline Chili Crosstown Showdown game Jeffersonville at New Albany on Friday night. Get your tickets, because when these teams hook up, you know, there's really never an empty seat in the house. And let's hope the doghouse packed again on Friday night for this big rivalry contest. That's going to wrap things up for our Monday program. Don't forget, this is new here as of last week. John Spears, right after the Hoosier Report, if you're listening in the 11 o'clock hour, he comes on here in moments, so stay tuned for that. He talks some IU, some Louisville, Kentucky, national stuff, and John will even discuss local items as well, which is great. We're glad to have him. He's always been part of the lineup now for a number of months, number of years, but glad to have him in this afternoon time slot now, so stay tuned for John Spears coming up next. Have a great Monday. Be back with you tomorrow at 11 o'clock. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.